Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this evening, Gospel lesson, verse 41. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the text. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are doing a series on children of promise, and now the third group of mother and child would be Elizabeth and John the Baptist. You know how the Christmas story starts. The angel, in the New Testament, an angel comes to a young girl by the name of Mary. And so on. But before that, in the first chapter of Luke, an angel comes to an old man serving as a priest in the temple and talks to that old man about the most bitter disappointment of his life, being childless. That would be Zechariah. And that old man did not believe and was struck silent. Was not allowed to speak again until he had written, "His name is John." And then his mouth was open and he spoke the Benedicamus, is what we call it. The promise was fulfilled. Elizabeth had a baby. And his son was to be the prophet of the Most High, the forerunner, the herald of the Christ. Half a year after that meeting of the angel in the temple with that elderly man, the same angel, Gabriel, says to Mary, "You will conceive and bear a son, and he will save his people from their sins." And Mary, shortly after finding out that she is to be the mother of Jesus Christ, goes to visit Elizabeth. And this is where this happens. The sound of her greeting reaches Elizabeth's ears. The baby in the womb leaps for joy. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what a curious thing this is. What a curious thing, because the normal way of it is that mom and dad teach the children about God, about religion, about how to pray. Parents will pray bedtime prayers with their children and so teach them and bring them along. Read Bible stories with their children and so bring them along. But here it kind of works both ways. Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's ears, the baby, John the Baptist, leaping for joy within her womb. She then is filled with the Holy Spirit and makes a confession of faith. Mother and child share together in the confession, and together they point to Jesus the Savior. Little detour here. This is my favorite passage for explaining why Lutherans baptize babies. The reason why, among other things, babies need the forgiveness of sins. Babies are included in the promise, but also, and this is where this passage comes into play, babies are able to have faith. We know that babies are able to have faith because John the Baptist made the good confession even before he was born. The only way that he could have. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, explains it. She says, "The baby in my womb leaped for joy." Filled with the Holy Spirit, we know it was true. Babies can have faith. Babies can have faith even before they are born. And here's another curious thing. Do you realize that the first example of evangelism in the New Testament takes place as there's an encounter between one baby still in the womb and another baby still in the womb? That would be Jesus and John the Baptist who makes the good confession. So there we are. And things are rolling along and things are really beginning and the kingdom of God is coming. Things are different and the whole world is about to change. But for the whole world to change, some things have to happen. What do parents want for their children? I guess events of the last week make that an especially poignant question. What do parents want for their children? Let's put it in the context of John the Baptist. What do parents want? For their children to grow up and live in the desert? To have ratty old clothes? To have a diet of wild honey and locusts. My commentary on my shelf for the Gospel of Mark gives a recipe. Couldn't believe it when I ran into it. To always point to someone better and more important than themselves? This is what parents want? John the Baptist, he must increase, but I must decrease. How about to offend the religious establishment and the authorities and power in the country so that he will be hated? To spend time in jail? To be executed because the king had impure thoughts as his stepdaughter danced. And she was as bloody and cruel as her mother. This is John the Baptist. John the Baptist who steps out on the stage and he's got something to say, and it is turning away from all the things of this world and all the ways that we've gone wrong. Turn away from all of those and turn to God. And it's not just John the Baptist preaching that says it. It's his life. Which always is what gets under the skin of others. The greatest thing we can want for our children now is that they will know the truth and hold to the truth, and especially that truth that is bound up in Jesus Christ, and that is something incredibly special. So John the Baptist steps out on stage, and what John the Baptist did was radical. Understood in the correct meaning of the word radical, down to the roots. Challenging and changing things. Completely out of bounds as far as the Pharisees were concerned. He baptized. Oh, there was a practice of baptizing those who came to faith from outside nations, from the Gentiles. And in the Old Testament it goes back to, it's all passing through the water. The history of Israel, back to the Red Sea. And down into the water and back out. Down into death and back up into life. Out of your former life and out into that journey of walking with God. Heading toward the promised land. All great images. And the Pharisees and others would baptize those who came into the faith. John the Baptist, now, he baptized Israelites. Those descended from Abraham. Those who had been claimed by God over 1,000 years before. Baptized those who claimed to be part of the covenant with Moses. who had the going through the Red Sea in their background. They would say, we've been baptized into Moses. The Gentiles, they haven't been, but we have been. And so, John the Baptist, baptizing those who already belonged. Why, how dare he? Was John the Baptist saying that they were not the people of God the way they thought they were? By inheriting being the people of God? Was he saying that their lives did not show that they were God's people? Was he saying that their inner lives were even worse? Was he saying that the human heart is desperately evil? Actually, that's exactly what he was saying. He was saying it about them. He was saying it about himself. He was saying it about us. And that kind of preaching can get you in trouble. But it's there in the Old Testament, all through the prophets. The call to repentance over and over again. Or Ezekiel 36. We'll probably get to Ezekiel 36 sometime in January. Where God says that he would sprinkle water on them, pour out his spirit on them, take away their heart of stone and give them new hearts. There it is. To acknowledge that we have needed new hearts. A new beginning to who we are and what we are. To acknowledge that without this new beginning, we cannot get there. We cannot capture the kingdom of God. We cannot enter into heaven. We cannot climb up and make God our God. We cannot walk the path of repentance by our own efforts. We can't even come to faith. If the heart is wrong, none of that happens. If the heart is wrong, we're completely lost. And the heart is wrong. Why, it's been wrong since Adam and Eve. John the Baptist comes along to let the whole world know that without this new beginning, everything is lost. The really neat part is that as he lets us know that everything is lost without this new beginning, he gets to be the one who stands there by the Jordan River and points and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There's the new beginning. There's the new start. There is the new heart given to us. It is the work of Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God from heaven to you. The Word of God penetrating deeply into heart and soul. The Word of God, that when that Word of God strikes home, it makes you new. The Word of God calls you, calls me, calls each of us out of unbelief and into faith, out of death into life. It's that dying and rising. That's what we do week after week, Sunday after Sunday. Dying and rising. Down into the death of sin, confessing before God. Lifted out of that death by the word of salvation and by the word about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Yeah. So John the Baptist comes along We are buried with Christ by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might walk in newness of life. That's Paul. The plan is to take this whole world, sweep it all away, start something completely new. Does that mean completely changing the world or completely changing you? The answer, yes. It's both. I had a conversation today with another pastor, was a former vicar, called me up and says, I've got my children here at my church asking, what about the problem of evil? Why can't God just step down and put an end to evil? He had an answer. It took a little bit longer than my answer. It was the same answer, actually. He just took longer getting there. Here's the answer. God could do a shortcut and simply put an end to evil. But, you know, that would involve putting an end to you. And the problem is, we've got some of that evil in us. So instead of the shortcut of just put an end to it and put an end to every human being while he's at it, he chose the longer, more painful way. God chose. The second person of the Trinity chose to take that evil, take it into himself, put it on himself, accept the judgment upon that evil himself, to go to the cross and die and rise. But as God does that, as Jesus does that, what he makes possible is for him to take us and bring us over from the one side to the other. Take and change us and see us not as evil, but as forgiven and righteous in his eyes. Again, I have a thing that came through on Facebook, a little saying. Those on earth don't like to hear the word repent. Those in hell wish they could hear it just one more time. It's pretty good. That's John the Baptist. Came to preach and point to Christ, and in that way, God's word opens heaven to us. In Jesus' name, amen.